Today is the second Sunday of Lent, and we're using as our sermon series and our devotion guide this Lenten season, God is on the Cross, using the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We do have more copies in case you were not able to get one. It has readings for every day, and on Tuesday night we'll have a study that will reflect on the week about self-denial that we'll talk about this morning. Self-denial is a very interesting concept in the Christian tradition, and it goes back to many of the words of Jesus, and sometimes I think in our Christian journey we get it wrong. And so this morning I'm hoping to invite you into a deeper look at what we mean when we say self-denial. Jesus is constantly saying, unless you lose yourself, you can't gain the true life. And so it's part of what Jesus is saying over and over and over and over. And I learned it when I was a teenager. And to be quite honest, I had no idea what life was to know what I was giving up yet. But I'm aged now. And I have a slightly different perspective. Not old enough yet? Is that what you're shaking your head for? No. I'm aging now. And hoping to be getting more mature and understanding words of Christ from a different perspective, growing in my journey. When we are about 2 years old, we have a really sophisticated self-awareness. We have to be able to, we have to get taught, we have to share stuff, because we really think that if it's within arm's reach, we should be able to put it in our mouth. Do anything we want with it. We have over and over, maybe it's a little younger that we say mine, mine, mine all the time. What age are you when you say mine, mine, mine all the time? 60. And at some point we learn, we start to transition a little bit, and we learn the power of the word no. And we feel like we've now gained control, because when our parents say no to us, it means they have control. And so now I can say no, and so I'm good, I'm powerful. And we watch little personalities and little people develop. Sometimes we have to keep teaching people to share throughout their lives because they never get past that. I loved the book, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And one of the main things was share. When we get to be about 15-year-olds, someone, often our parents, have to tell us a few times that the world does not revolve around us. I remember my parents saying that to my older brother a lot. And I just kept watching like, man, are you just dumb to not get that? But that's, we see through our set of eyes with our brain, so there is a sense in which the universe in our consciousness revolves around us. And what that has meant through human history is that at one point we thought Jerusalem was the center of the universe, and we started to get that, oh no, we revolve around the sun. The sun is one of many suns. Our galaxy is not even the most important galaxy, the biggest galaxy. Our sun isn't the biggest sun. This isn't the big. And we have to keep realizing that, in a sense, we're little in the big picture. Our egos don't always like that. The thing that really struck me, though, a few years ago, an awareness that some people's identity in their teenage years is crushed so badly that there's never any self to deny. And so my hope is for us to realize that there is a healthy self, and then we can go a little overboard. Not enough self is bad, and too much self may be bad. But trying to find just the right fit for who we are is what makes all the difference, and it's what gives us that thriving, eternal life worth living, life of the ages that Jesus talks about. We really don't have a chance of being all that mature until we pass the age of about 25, and we've had a few ups and downs. we really don't make that great leap from it's all about me to it's not all about me until we either fall in great love or have great suffering. And so every once in a while, there's a 14-year-old with leukemia who lives a transformed life, realizing that the world is not all about them. But for the rest of us, we often have to wander through with trips and faults and sins and those kind of things that remind us that we can be a little more humble than thinking the world rotates around us. Jesus keeps saying, deny yourself and take up the cross. And we really don't get that until we understand self and what cross can mean. But as we mature and we live life, we search for meaning and we find ourselves defining who we are ourselves and not just as an extension of our parents. And we start to ask God, who am I? What plan? What is your will for me? And at some point we stop seeing ourselves as separate from or better than the rest of God's creation and we begin to be part of the grand flow. We recognize that we are not alone. We are connected to each other, that we love others because they too are God's children, God's creation. Today, who you are physically is made up of atoms that once were something else. And the atoms that are who you are may someday be someone else. We are all connected. But we also have got this consciousness of being separate. When we see ourselves as only from that separateness and not that connectedness, when we view ourselves and our identity only about who we are, separate from how God sees us, Thomas Merton calls that our false self. It's when our ego runs rampant. And that, for some folks, is what self-denial means. Watch out for your ego. Mine, me, myself, I, all of those kind of words that really only are about me. I want to invite you to look at this in a slightly different way. I want to change today the phrasing self-denial to self-emptying. I want you to see yourself as some kind of container. Your ego is a container for who you are. You are not your ego. You are not the container. So I'm going to use some containers that maybe will help you think about this and process this throughout the... So when we're young, we can't do a lot. We have to get our life and give our life through a very narrow spout just so that we're protected. Some folks never grow out of this container. And so we buy cups or we become a cup that has a spill spout too, that we can contain more and we look more sophisticated, but we can only give so much at a time. Make sure I come back to these. Let me put these here. Like every other container of water, but it's disposable. You can cap it off so I don't have to give anything to anybody. I don't spill it. It's not all that sophisticated, and it's not something you're going to keep around for very long. But I'm afraid that there are some folks whose only identity is a little bit too disposable. I think this is the kind of thing we think about when we think of an overinflated ego. We decorate our cup, ourselves, with pretty glasses. And we become our fashion, our hairstyle. Yeah, left to my own devices, I'd probably have long hair still, but it's not pretty. I've got very thin hair, so I can make, if every hair on my head grows out thick and rich and long, I have a ponytail that's really, really thin. But if it's all about us and our ego and stuff, then we have this elaborate container. But it by itself is not all that different than any other of the containers. Some of us, when we grow up, we still have that sippy cup thing, but we've learned that we can put wine in it instead. This one has got a little wine glass shape inside. No? And some of us, we get sophisticated and old and mature, and we make sure we are fine crystal. Mikasa. I only have one of them. But if I wet my finger, it'll hum like crystal. It beautifully etched. Oh, what a wonderful life it is, right? Has a matching set. You can spend a lot of money. Or maybe for some, the container. This is olive wood. The whole intention of this little olive wood cup is to serve communion at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. It's built and made just so that you can get communion. And all I could think of when I got this was St. Francis of Assisi. His cup would look a little bit like this. I wanted to make sure, I tried to find Dixie cups, so this size, but made out of paper so I could wrinkle it up and throw it away, because I'm afraid that sometimes we treat other people like refugees and children of families with addictions or something like that, people who end up in systems, like their life doesn't have enough worth. This cup was made for me by Edward Beckett. He's a teacher in Palm Coast at Flagler Palm Beach High School. He teaches photography and pottery. And he made me this set when I served in Palm Coast. A plate and a cup for a preacher. What do you think? You think it has a point? Its whole intention is for it to be used for communion. It comes with a matching set. It's a cup that was built with a purpose. I think God intends for all of us to be this. Not to be the purpose of communion, but for all of us to have a specific design for what our container is meant to do. I'm afraid that sometimes we see folks who act like this is the container God has in store for us, or this is the container God has for us. And to be quite honest, they both can carry the same liquid. I intentionally brought wine glasses to juxtapose against a different kind of wine glass, because that kind of wine glass isn't used for the same as this kind of wine glass, is it? I think all of us are meant to have some kind of purpose, and sometimes we're designed to have a match that goes with it, to help us do exactly what it is that God has in store for us. And here's the part I want you to get, that it really isn't about the cup. It's about the water or the wine that God pours into us. It's the pouring in when God comes in, and the pouring out when we get to give to God. You see, Jesus' life was not about his container, but about the pouring. We're invited to be self-emptying. And it's okay for us to self-empty at a pace that leaves us absolutely empty, but still just wet enough to remember God was there and now available for God to put more in and us to give more out, and God to put more in and us to give more out. Sometimes we want to live a life where God pours in and nothing has to get out. We want it all, so we put a cap on it. Or we want to give a little, and so we've got that little thing on the top that allows us to either turn it off or have a little come out. But Jesus on the cross did this. But Jesus in the garden said, you know, if there's another way, give me a different cup. What will it be for you? Will it be about your ego? Or can it be about how God can use who God meant you to be? This is a lovely cup. But to be quite honest, if I was going to define my own cup outside of God's perspective, I'd have been a basketball player. I love basketball. Maybe a rock and roll singer. I love singing. So if I get to define my own existence in the world, I may not define myself the way God defines myself. And so I tell you, follow your joy. Even if other folks think, you must be crazy for doing what you do, follow your joy. It'll tell you, without being able to see the outside, who you really are by God's eyes, what you're intended to do. Because that joy that comes from giving yourself away, that's who you were meant to be. We sometimes think about self-denial language in the church about not being so much about ourselves. But this cup can serve too. I want you to get to the point where you realize that self denial is about being who God designed you to be. And then you can't just stop there. You got to be self-emptying. Take up your cross means pour out your love. I can do that. This take up your cross stuff doesn't make me feel real good. How about you? But give yourself away and let God fill you back up again? Can you do that? Let us pray. Gracious God, fill us up with just the right amount, with just the right wine, to do what it is that you would have us do. And then help us risk ourselves in life and in love, in our suffering, in our pain, in our grief, to give ourselves away, so that other folks can experience that love that you gave to us, and we can pass around your love. Let it be, Lord, we see ourselves as your vessel. And in that, we get to truly live a life worth living. We become people who share God's love. Your will be done. We know at times we will want you to give us a different cup. Help us, Lord, to follow to the best of our ability. Help us seek you in our love, our happiness, our joy. Help us to seek you in our pain and our suffering so that all of our existence becomes your dream for us, your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.